This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The British pound resumes its slide as calls grow louder to reverse fiscal policy that has spooked international financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Global ratings agency Moody's has warned the UK government that unfunded tax cuts could lead to larger budget deficits and higher interest rates. Moody's slashed its growth expectations for next year to just 0.3% and said the plans put the UK's credit rating at risk. It comes hours after the International Monetary Fund roundly criticized Liz Truss's brand new governments for its large-scale tax cut plan and encouraged it to re-evaluate the measures. Former Deputy IMF Director Adnan Mosseri told the BBC that kind of statement is usually reserved for emerging markets.
There are two countries right now that hit me about their macroeconomic policies being self-destructive. On the industrial countryside, it is the UK. On the emerging market side, I can think of Turkey. Just the mere fact people like me are now speaking about the UK and Turkey in the same paragraph shows you the level of concern that analysts and observers have.
The UK, the world's sixth largest economy there, being compared with Turkey, where inflation is hovering around 80%. So what now? The BBC's Simon Jack explains that Finance Minister Kwasi Kwarteng has been trying to do damage control.
What he's been saying to the business leaders is, look, the tax cuts are only one bit of our overall reform package. The stuff that will make all this work are things like planning deregulation, financial services deregulation, relaxed planning and immigration rules, and all of that stuff will mean that there'll be a greater supply of labour and things will get easier to do and therefore the costs will come down. But behind the scenes, I've been speaking to bond traders, economists, bankers, and they're saying that the problem with this is this dash for growth, that has left the Bank of England a much harder job to dampen down inflation. Banks are going to have to go further and faster. And that is going to push up interest rates much higher than was previously thought.
And clearly, the market is not buying what the Chancellor is selling at the moment. There are reports today that he'll be meeting with Wall Street banks. I mean, is there anything that he can really say now to reassure them?
What I think he'll say to the big American banks is, listen, we were trying to do some shock and awe. It's backfired slightly. But trust me, 23rd of November, we will have a proper budget. And I will tell you how I'm going to get the debt down as a percentage of national income. He'll have a real job on his hands to convince big Wall Street names that he's got this under control. Ray Dalio was on this morning, the head of Bridgewater, one of the biggest hedge funds in the world, and he certainly was not convinced.
That doesn't make any sense. You can't make wealth by running large deficits. You have to have lenders who want to own the debt, and still it becomes a debt that's a burden. It doesn't stimulate the economy. Productivity is what stimulates the economy over the long run.
There's a reason they call the bond market people bond market vigilantes. And I think it's fair to say that Trussonomics has had a very bruising first encounter with them.
The BBC's Simon Jack for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
Well, pound sterling, as I said, has resumed its declines today. It's down now about 1% to $1.06. Checking some other numbers quickly, European benchmarks also firmly in the red this morning. They're down in the 1.4 to 1.6% range. The European Union's foreign affairs chief has promised a robust and united response to any deliberate disruption to European energy infrastructure. The remarks come after allegations of sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines in the Baltic Sea. Ukraine has accused Russia of being behind what is described as a terrorist attack without giving proof. The Kremlin, though, this morning has called those claims, quote, stupid. The BBC's Damian McGuinness is in Berlin with more.
Swedish seismologists say that they recorded explosions. A lot of analysts and experts are saying any kind of leak in a new pipeline like this would be very unusual, let alone three separate leaks at three different spots in various different pipelines within the space of 24 hours. So that is all pointing to the fact that this does not seem to be an accident, according to the general opinion within Western Europe. The big question would be, if this was sabotage, then who is behind it? And that is really where German ministers and European leaders in general are very reluctant to point the finger, because, of course, this is an incredibly delicate and difficult situation, because its pipelines are intrinsically connected to Europe's energy crisis and to the war in Ukraine.
We've been seeing reports of protests in some parts of Germany that people want the Nord Stream 2 pipeline project, which was mothballed at the start of the war. They want to see that reopened. Is that sentiment representative of what people across Germany want to see?
These, has to be pointed out, are not in any way representative of mainstream opinion. They're very fringe protests, and they're a sign of radicalism when it comes to the war in Ukraine and public opinion in Germany. The mainstream view in Germany was that Nord Stream, both pipelines, were a big mistake. I think this is something that most politicians now accept. Environmentalists said they were damaging to the environment. Eastern European governments and many people within Germany said the pipelines increased Germany's and Europe's reliance on Russian gas to a dangerous level. Now, those critics feel vindicated, since we've seen gas being weaponized by Moscow. Since February, the government here has been saying, well, we need to pivot away from Russian gas, and they've been doing everything they can to do that. So I think when it comes to things like these protests saying Nord Stream 2 should be activated, it was mothballed, as you say, when Russia invaded Ukraine. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, because I think the mainstream general public opinion here is that it was a mistake in the first place to even go down this route of having these pipelines.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness for us in Berlin. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.